You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go to the phones. And joining us from Discount Tackle is Austin Parr. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Always great to have you on. I know there's lots of bites going on, and we could talk about, maybe we'll get to some of the stuff at Cherry Creek. If not, we're going to get to it to the next segment. But I want to talk to you about an opportunity this time of the year that people really need to be taking advantage of, because a lot of times, you know, you don't have time for that trip, or you don't want to take that, launch your boat. And I do this all the time. We have great pond fishing up and small lake fishing up and down the Front Range, don't we?
Absolutely. There's fantastic opportunities, even right in our own backyards. And especially this time of year when we're dealing with high temperatures and maybe some of our trout bite isn't as good, or a lot of our walleye lakes are inundated with shad, you can get some of the best fishing in these little local ponds for largemouth bass and panfish literally right now and over the next couple of weeks.
Well, you're absolutely right. I was out checking a few. And by the way, I put a post on my Facebook page, folks, that shows you a really simple panfish setup. Now, this is the real basic, but if you've got a kid you're teaching to fish and taking out to these park ponds, it'll just bail you out. So go take a look at that at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook. But you're right, almost every pond up and down the Front Range is stocked with bass and panfish, bluegills, crappies, and there's occasional other species in some of these ponds. So how do you first pick a pond, and then how do you approach it?
So it's not bad to just fish, honestly, your local neighborhood pond. But a lot of times, too, you can find some around town that may have additional growth of aquatic vegetation. Certainly having any kind of big trees or overhanging structure into the water can be worthwhile as well. But the other thing to look at is maybe do a little bit of research as to if your pond is going to be having largemouth or smallmouth bass. The majority have largemouth, but some do have smallmouth, and I'm going to approach those different lakes with the different species differently. But to somebody that isn't really used to bass fishing, and they might see this heavy moss growth in these ponds and think that that's not good, but those bass really utilize that for structure, and a lot of times that's where I'm starting.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think the biggest problem as we get into the second half of summer and the weed growth is up and the water might even be down just a hair, is people are afraid to cast where they need to cast. Now, that leads us to a point before we get into your techniques, is the fact that you may not have to upgrade your rod. You may be able to get by, but you're probably going to have to make sure you at least have some good solid braid line that that gives you some ability to pull fish out, don't you think?
Absolutely. And even when you're looking at these bass pros fishing with really heavy 30 or 40 pound when they're going out a really significant cover, it's not because the fish is that big. It's because you need to get them out of that cover. And if you're fishing 6 pound test, and even a 1 or a 2 pound bass can get you tangled up into some of those weeds. So at minimum, about a 10 pound braid, as you mentioned, is what I like to school my reels up with.
Okay, so then what are some of the presentations, and how do you do some search casting? Do you kind of look for areas, a combination?
So one of my favorites, you and I had talked about in a previous show, but this time of year, your topwater bite can be fantastic. And the reason I like it the most is you can work in and around your weeds without getting hung up, as long as you're having some accurate casts. But the caveat to that is that it really is an early morning and late evening bite only. If you have some good cloud cover, you might catch them into the day a little bit. But that early morning, late evening, low light conditions with a popper or a whopper plopper or a spook all can be very worthwhile. And I'm casting that in and around the structure points. And so I'm right on the edge of the weed lines. I'm in front of a tree. I'm in front of any kind of a rock pile or a little inlet that might come in. And I'm working that back, and you can get both your largemouth and your smallmouth to hit that very nicely. Now, additionally, as the day progresses, or if I'm in the middle of the day, a wacky rigged or a weedless Texas rigged Senko with no weight can be very worthwhile as well. I'm fishing that weightless, so it's not going down into those weeds very hard. So you can just pitch into those areas that have the openings, and even small openings will have a bass sitting in there. And a lot of times you don't even really feel that fish. With that braid, you can just watch your line swim off and then set your hook into those fish. But a Senko is a great way to go. Also, I like a drop shot rig. And a drop shot rig is where you have your hook tied on your line with a tag line underneath it. So I'm putting a weight on that tag line, and then I have that hook up higher where that soft plastic is on. And then that weight is the only thing that's down into the weeds, and my plastic remains a lot cleaner in a presentation with your drop shot rig.
And if folks, if you, another, I'm going to send you to the Facebook page again, because Chad and I talked drop shotting last week, and there's a link to that that discussion on my Facebook page that we get in depth on drop shotting on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook. You're absolutely right. The bass. One of the things I find when I a lot of times when I'm fishing these ponds, I see people trying to catch bass and they're casting to the most open water. Not that you won't ever, never catch a fish there, but that's not where they're concentrated. So it takes some work with them to get them the confidence to fish in the cover or close to the cover. That's where the soft plastics, like you mentioned, the Senko, really come in. Sometimes I'll even take just a 4-inch worm unweighted on maybe a 1-aught bass hook, and I can actually just pull that along the top of the weeds, and I've even had them come up and hit. Then every time I get to a pocket, just let it drop. But once I get people to catch bass that way, it really gets them excited. It's a new way to fish, and it's just, they have so much fun, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, that can work really well. And then the other nice thing about these ponds too is that there's a lot of panfish in them, so you can work even just as you mentioned, just a little basic rig, even with just a float and a piece of Nightcrawler or a piece of gulp, and catch those. And then you could put bait on for your bass too. Live leeches or live shiners this time of year also can work very well for those fish.
Oh yeah, and don't be afraid to fish under a bobber. I mean, just because we've learned to use bobbers when we're little kids doesn't mean they're not a big boy presentation. I use bobbers a lot. It just keeps your bait in the presentation. And the panfish will actually, if you're afraid to cast into that cover, now you're going to have panfish in the cover too, but a lot of times you can find bigger openings and with just a bobber and a piece of bait, catch all the panfish you want without having to get as deep in the cover. And if that's the case, then I recommend people go to maybe have a lighter rod with them to have a little more fun.
Yep, maybe take both rods with you out there. But the panfish are a great opportunity to get some youth into the sport. And this time of year is when really they're doing the best and they're the most active.
Now, last thing I want to close with you on is that we also have a resource going through town. Well, it's in ponds all over town too, and it's in the Platte River, and that's carp. And carp can get to be giant fish. They pull your string, and yet you can catch them with either a fly or bait. And they're an opportunity I don't think people take advantage of enough.
Yeah, they can be super challenging. And I think that's part of one of the reasons why some people turn their nose up at them. But you can catch them in a variety of different ways. Certainly a lot of folks will fly fish to them, especially in the lower water of late summer in the river, in the Platte, with crawfish patterns, San Juan worms, big hare's ears and such all can be worthwhile. And you can use some of those same techniques in these ponds, but the whole key when you're fly fishing these fish is to be trying to find a fish that's tailing, similar to you'd be finding a saltwater redfish or a bonefish, where their nose is down and their tip of their tail is kind of sticking up actively feeding. But if you're just casting some bait lines out there as well, I've had success on certainly just basic crawlers, but then there's also carp dough bait that's out there. Some folks will even utilize corn at times.
Yeah, and you can, whatever way you like to fish, there's stop by your shop, you can help them out. But I'll tell you what, you hook up one of these big carp and you'll be hooked yourself for a long time.
They pull in a big way, harder than pretty much anything else.
Last question, because we got to wrap it up. How is the supply of fishing gear holding up?
Still been challenging. So there's certain areas that have been better, but if you're looking for rods or reels, it's been tough still. Various lures in certain colors have been tough. Basically anything of Asian Orient stuff is all tough. I mean, so anything that's made over in China, the supply chain has been challenging, and I'm still struggling with.
All right. Tell them how they find you.
I'm at Discount Fishing Tackle. We're 6 blocks south of Evans on the west side of Santa Fe.
All right, my friend. Great information. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's Austin Parr. Great resource. Another great resource coming up. The folks from Tightline Outdoors are going to join us, and we're going to talk walleye and pike, which are both doing really well right now here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.